T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
So then, Dell would be the goalie. Tokarski's on the COVID list. Subban isn't with the team yet. Anderson isn't healthy yet. And Luukkonen has to get to Florida by 7. Sal, how long does it take to get to Florida? You've done that.
Ha! We driving or flying?
Oh, well, I mean, it's the Sabres.
No, it's
probably a flight.
So then they're driving.
Flight.
Bicycle.
Probably yeah. A flight.
It's 3 to 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
He's not making it.
No, right. To Fort Lauderdale. Right. 3-hour flight.
Well, is there some other form of transportation that we don't know about that billionaires might have access to?
Yachts.
That's I don't think
also
that's quicker.
Not going to be faster. We're Super also yachts. Assuming here that they just found out about Tokarski.
Right.
And they may have known this morning about Tokarski and just announced it now. So they may have already been moving toward getting someone to Florida, assuming Anderson, who's on the trip, isn't suitable to dress as the backup. Maybe. I mean, the Subban thing just happened, so I doubt that he could get there, but it's possible they could be moving Luukkonen down there earlier today, and they just announced the move on Tokarski now. But I'm guessing at that. I mean, I have no idea.
It's a race.
That happens all the time in football, right? I mean, you hear about they're going right. to make a transaction because they know, and then the official transaction comes out later. So things are in the works for quite a while, actually.
Come
right,
on,
it
no.
happens with guys on waivers in hockey all the time where – you know, you,
right.
or call-ups, you know, where you hear at this time or during a morning skate, like so-and-so is being recalled, and he was here the whole time. Like they sent him down on paper, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, this isn't that, of course. I mean, I doubt that they had an extra goalie coming, but I'm just saying it's possible they knew about this thing with Tokarski and COVID earlier in the day and had time to maneuver, but we'll see.
Yeah, come on. We want there to be a Zamboni driver or a somebody,
right.
right? I mean, isn't that better?
There is an e-bug. That's what that's called, right? The emergency backup goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I think St. Louis is in a pinch because Binnington went on the COVID list, and they're scrambling around and might not have a guy. There's a chance that maybe we'll end up with 2 e-bugs dressing tonight, one for the Blues and one for the Sabres.
That could be a record. All right. Well, we'll be monitoring that. Not that we have, like, the flight radar or anything, but we'll give you updates as we get them. Bills and Patriots Monday, of course. Sal, we're just talking about the weather a little bit, and now it looks like we're talking about rain and wind, at least earlier in the day. Maybe it'll get cold enough for there to be snow possibly later on, but I don't know. You were on earlier, and I know you've been talking about this or thinking about this a little bit. A, what are you thinking? What do you know about what's likely, if anything? And then B, what does it mean or what would it mean to the game?
Well, I woke up this morning to Patrick Hammer's tweet saying there's a difference between the American model and the European model. And that actually caused me to actually Google which is more reliable.
Yes.
Normally this is for hurricanes, because a lot of times you see in hurricanes, the European model, and I remember living in Florida and going through this, and you'd hear people talk about which models, and you'd have to kind of decipher. And what Joe and I both actually did this, and Corey, who was on the show producing, I think we all came up with the general consensus reading that the European model is generally more accurate, but the difference is the American model can forecast a little further out, and then they kind of come together a little bit more as it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows, right? It doesn't have to be either right or wrong, either one of them. What it appears, though, is there's going to be some sort of weather event on Monday. The question is how much of that. And you're right, Mike. Maybe it comes in a little bit sooner. We don't know based on – it's going to be – there's going to be a swift temperature drop at some point on Monday, it appears. And is that drop going to be – get it cold enough that it's going to snow? And then how high will the winds be? I think we're looking at a windy day, a windy night – and some sort of precipitation. I think the question is whether that's rain or snow, or does it go from rain to snow? As far as the game is concerned, I mean, I'd love it to be calm conditions anyway. I think, you know, the Bills are built to play in that weather. The weather I'm describing would definitely play more into the way the Patriots want to play. But I think there is an advantage here you can look at for the Bills, which would be they're already kind of limited in their passing game. This would make them even more one-dimensional, New England. I think that could help the Bills, especially without Trey White.
Yeah. Boy, when Mike, we were talking about this with Joe Ostrowski a half an hour ago, Sal, and then Mike capped it off with the forecast and how warm it was going to be early in the day Monday. I don't remember the year, but early 2000s, there was a home game around this time of the year against the Patriots, and I remember this very clearly because I was working mornings then, so I did like an 8 a.m. pregame show with Ann Burke, and we were at a bar at the corner of Southwestern and Abbott, and I got there at 7:30 or whatever to start the show, and it was like 55 or 60 degrees, really windy, and by the end of the game, we were singing Christmas carols in the stands, and it was snowing. Like, it was that kind of day. Like, it just, the temperature plummeted through the afternoon to the point where it started snowing, and it turned into kind of a snow game.
You think a few years ago, you guys were on the air. This happened one day. I remember specifically, Mike, you talking about the temperature, like, and giving updates on how quickly it was dropping from, like, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. That has happened here before, for sure. I mean, it's not uncommon here in Buffalo that it drops a good 20, 25 degrees over a couple-hour period.
Is that maybe the 2000 game, Bulldog, late in the year, and Wade? Maybe
yeah,
there was another one.
There were two Patriot games in that time frame, like 2000 to 2002, somewhere in there, that I mess up. One is like the David Patton dead Patriot game.
0-1.
With the fumble that he's touching or whatever, so it's a dead ball because he's out of bounds or something. And that's not the one I'm thinking of for the weather. The other one is the one.
Yep.
So it might be 2000 is right.
Yep, I think that's right. I also looked up American model versus European model. American model is mad because they have boots on the ground. They have the eye test. They have home field advantage. They want some respect here. Like, this is happening. This story would happen in America. So they don't want to hear about the European model can back right. You know, analytics. Come on, we know. We're here. We know. So there's a little bit of a rivalry brewing there.
Sal Capaccio, Europe, you never played.
Yeah, the European model never played. Sal Capaccio on the West Her hotline. So what have you noticed or maybe liked or disliked, Sal, about how the conversation has gone? I mean, this is, again, Joe Ostrowski earlier. He's like, this is the game of the week. And so, I mean, I'm sure you're consuming a lot. I think you would be if you have time. What are you sort of taking from what you're hearing about how the two teams are perceived in the matchup?
I think there's a perception that the Bills suddenly find themselves in a spot where, you know, no one thought they'd be, and I think that's true. And then here come the Patriots, and they ain't going away for a while. I still think there are questions about this Patriots team and, you know, what they can be. That doesn't mean they can't beat the Bills on Monday. Of course they can. But I'm pretty sure I know who the Bills are, and I know they're going to be good for a while. I'm not quite sure. The Patriots, I think they're kind of feeling themselves out here on how on where they want to go and how they want to build this, and I still have questions about how they've built. I give them high marks, fully. I mean, this is not a criticism of them right now in 2021, but I'm not so sure. I'm not going to jump to what I've heard. I think the conversation of, okay, here they go, Mac Jones, I got a rookie quarterback. They're all set for the next 10, 15 years. I don't necessarily agree with that. I need to see more. I think that's a small sample size. I don't know if Bill Belichick's going to be there for 10 to 15 years. I don't know, you know, if they're going to want to push the ball a little bit more, have receivers, what they're going to do, how they're going to be able to play defense, things like that. But I think now suddenly there's this rush to kind of put New England right back in the conversation for the next decade because we only were without them for a year. I like where the Bills are going. I think they're going to be there for a while. I think the Patriots could. I'm just not so sure as much as other people seem to be.
One thing that would contribute to that line of thinking for me, Sal, would be that they were so aggressive in free agency. And,
right.
and it's not to say that that hasn't helped them, because obviously it has. But it, that's not the same as drafting a core of guys that you're building around. Like right. The shelf life of free agents just isn't going to be as long, you know, presuming you're signing guys who are 27, 28 years old when you sign them. You know, that to me means you're going to have to keep moving pieces around and keep getting stuff right. And obviously, if you have the quarterback right, that's a big, big, big piece, very significant. But is Mac Jones someone that can carry a team? Like, we're not seeing any evidence of that yet. So, like, that makes their build right now, to me, a little more questionable than what the Bills have done.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, the Patriots right now, like, they kind of remind me of the Bills right after the Super Bowl run, where they had that down year. They had 1 year. They did not go to the playoffs
right.
in 94. And then right back mm-hmm. in 95, they go to the playoffs. And they beat Miami at home. And everybody, you know, there's a lot of, okay, here are the Bills. You know, they're back. Now, they still have a lot of their core. They were aging. So it's not exactly apples to apples comparison here. But the Bills were pretty good then for the next several years. They did turn things over a little bit. You know, they had some new blood come in. But they were pretty good for the next few years. They were never, ever back to the level they were. I mean, in 2000, they could have actually, you know, gone back. It was 99. You know what I mean? The home run throwback. They had a really good team. I think they could have made the Super Bowl if they win that game, but they never got back to where they were. And I think the difference is, too, the Bills didn't have someone in their division right then who were like the Bills are now to the Patriots. You know what I mean? So the
ready
division
to take
was kind of
over. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
yeah, exactly. The division was a little more open. But they do remind me of that, which is, hey, they took a year off, they're ready, and they're back. But come on, the Patriots had such an incredible run, unlike we've ever seen in sports, really. They're not going to do that again. They're not going to win Super Bowls. And you know, I think there's been a little bit of a rush to kind of put them right back to the top of the heap like they were for 20 years for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Sal, what's the latest on injuries? I saw a picture of Matt Milano in a red jersey.
Yeah, he was limited today. He was wearing a red jersey when I was out there at the beginning of practice. I wouldn't worry about that. A lot of times that's just, you know, just making sure nobody runs into him. He might be dealing with something. He was limited with his shoulder. I wouldn't read too much into that. The injury, I think in the game like this, it could matter now that everybody talked about Tre'Davious White, obviously the biggest injury, but, you know, Reggie Gilliam left that game too late with an ankle injury. He never came back. Well, he's out of practice today still with that same ankle injury. So, you know, if Reggie Gilliam doesn't play, that's one more guy in the run game that you might want and need because this is possibly going to be that type of game, and the Patriots have not been really good at stopping the run necessarily. That's one of the areas statistically they haven't been really good on. Cody Ford really worked through that game with an arm injury. We find out today it's actually officially a bicep. He was really hurt, and it seemed like play in, play out. He was a full participant. And then Star Lotulelei is listed with an illness. It doesn't say COVID or non-COVID related, just illness and limited. So I'm wondering if it's related to him coming off the COVID list, but he did practice today. Interestingly, Spencer Brown is not on the injury report, which means he was a full participant today, and there's no issues. And he's ready to go. And for everybody asking me why John Feliciano's not listed, because he's actually still on IR. He has not been elevated to the active roster.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean McDermott said today, he told us on the radio and then reiterated to the rest of the media when everybody met with him in mass, that, you know, he's going to see how that goes with all three of these guys before Monday to know if we're going to know if he's going to be activated or not.
Right. So they might not activate. When do they have to activate Feliciano by? Is it by like 4 o'clock Monday?
Yes, that's a good question, Bulldog, because normally it's 4 o'clock on Saturday,
right.
But they don't play Saturday. They play Monday night, and there's no transactions on Sunday, so it's Monday. We would find out, we would basically find out amongst all the inactives or, you know, well, it's 90 minutes before the game is inactives, but we might not find out until then, but they can do it officially to the league by 4 o'clock Monday, I believe.
All right, I just want to slip this in before another thing.
Yeah.
I've got a source saying that Lukanen is expected to make it.
Okay.
Oh, to Florida? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Whether he starts or not, I don't know, but I was told the Sabres are expecting him to make it. So at least that seems like a possibility. I guess they think that might be safe.
Put him in.
Put him in. If he's there, put him in.
The old scramble drill, you know, Michael Jordan flu game, like whatever. You're not expecting to play? Go play in the NHL. I bet he gets a shutout. I'd want to bet on him getting a shutout tonight if he plays.
Here you go, kid. Florida.
Right.
Sunday is going to be cool for us to just watch the rest of the league, right, Sal? I mean, I tweeted at you yesterday about that, just how it's a great lineup of AFC games through the night game, Denver, Kansas City, you know, another way to check in on these other contenders. I mean, Cleveland is off if they're even a contender. Tennessee is, and they're on bye. You have New England and Buffalo Monday night, and most of the other teams, there are a lot of them, but most of the other teams we're talking about are confined to a few games.
Yeah, I thought last week was interesting. A lot of games around the league that were really interesting to watch, including, obviously, that Patriots-Titans game. I think this game this week is the same thing. How about the Herbert versus Burrow Bowl, right? I think that's pretty cool to look at right there. And obviously that has major AFC implications for both teams. And then I think that really the big one to watch here for the Bills is the 425 game between the Ravens and Steelers. That could tell us a lot. I think Sunday night is interesting just because the Broncos are playing better. I mean, I expect the Chiefs to win, but I think that's at least something to keep an eye on, the way the Broncos are playing right now. And there's a lot of games here that mean a lot to the standings going forward, especially for seeding.
Yes, and Denver has done pretty well defensively against Mahomes. They've not played this year yet, so there's a little bit of that. I mean, Kansas City has won. Denver hasn't beaten Kansas City in a long time, but Mahomes has not had his best games against the Broncos.
You know, in this Kansas City turnaround, if you want to call it, I mean, they have won five of their last six. They've definitely played much better defense. But their offense in the last four games, last five games, still has only scored 20 points one time in the last five games.
Ouch. You guys,
sorry, they scored 20 points twice, over 20 once. They scored 41 one game. But 3, then 20, then 13, then 41, then 19. So they're winning, but they're really winning with defense.
Yeah, their run defense has gotten good, actually, Kansas City.
What's helped that, Mike? I'm sorry, you know what's helped that a lot?
What?
Melvin Ingram shows up. They move Chris Jones back inside. So Chris Jones was really out of place outside. When the Bills played him, he was out. He just was not – anybody we talked to in Kansas City is like, yeah, this guy's outside. He can't really get pressure. He's not doing much. They get Melvin Ingram from the Steelers. They move Chris Jones inside. All of a sudden, it's just this huge difference for their defense.
Also helping their defense, playing Dallas without Cooper and Lamb for a half. Also helping their defense, not facing Aaron Rodgers when they played Green Bay.
Right, that helps.
Often there is that point. Joe gets to do start sit questions on Extra Point.
It's not questions. He just comes up with them. It's all his, baby. He just has three starts and three sits every week. I think he went with four this week.
I went with four.
He's pushing it, isn't he, around here?
Yeah.
He's pushing it. Now he has four. Now he does
he's
four.
He's getting up to six during playoff weeks.
Just because he wants to do four, he does four.
See, next week I can't do five. I got to wait it out. Like, go 4 or 5 weeks, and they'll get accustomed to four. And then, it's five. It's easier.
Tread carefully.
What's the max there? Four is probably the max. You can't just come out with like eight.
What'll happen is Sal will start doing four underdogs.
Oh, that's right.
And then you'll go to five. And your whole show will be underdogs and start sit.
No, Joe, you can't has have been... four dog Thursday. You need the alliteration of three
that's
dog
right.
Thursday.
Four
you
dog Friday.
Four dog Friday.
Yeah, all right.
13 dog Thursday.
I'd have to move it a little
13
bit.
Dog Joe... Thursday.
Joe's been good. I mean, he is. He knows his stuff. There's a couple misses in there. There's no doubt. Just like I went 0-3 for the first time in my three dogs last week. Like, I've been over 500 all year pretty much. Went 0-3. Joe's good. He has good starts and sits. He's had a couple misses along the way, but I look forward to it because generally there's a player or two that I have somewhere in my – I only have three fantasy leagues, Mike. In my three fantasy leagues, somewhere I have a player or two that Joe is talking about.
Today that was Van Jefferson.
And Antonio Gibson. I have them both.
Yes.
Three league Thursday. How about that? Mm-hmm. Sal goes over all his rosters on Thursdays.
Yes.
His entire team.
That's hour one.
Hour one. I'm kind of stumped about tonight. You have a thought on tonight? Like, what to trust? Ed Werder says Elliott scaled back. Jerry Jones says nope. That now Ed Werder has Cooper is limited. He's coming off COVID. Who knows? McCarthy isn't there. What have I got in Dallas?
You think you're confused on tonight. I had the Saints have one of my three dog Thursday picks and literally on the air said I'm not using them now. I just scratched them because I heard all their guys are still out again. Like, I don't know what to think about tonight. They're getting 5.5. I listened to Joe Ostrowski. He likes them, right? Or no, it wasn't Joe. It was there was another ad we ran maybe for BetQL or
something. Maybe?
Yeah, there was an ad we ran and someone said, like, hey, I would not take the Cowboys here. I'd take the Saints. I don't know what to think here. I thought the Saints may have been kind of just – you know, not giving up the game on the Bills, but saying, look, they have another game in 7 days. They don't get the normal 11-day rest after Thursday, and they have a conference game, so let's get these guys healthy. But here they are, and they're all hurt again. But, man, the Cowboys are just – they do not look right now. They're kind of streaky. All year they've been this really good offense. You can count on them. I don't know what to count on them now, especially just – it seems like one guy goes out on that offense, receiving-wise, and they become a different team.
Yeah, Baltimore is a little bit like that, too, in a different way. Just they can't get a good start. Dallas had the bad start last week. Prescott got his numbers in the end, but like just they never led in that game on Thanksgiving against the Raiders. Denver crushed them. 9 points in Kansas City. It's a really tough league to figure out, as usual. Okay. Thank you, Sal. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
There you go. That is our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Real quick, those AFC games that we highlighted there during that conversation, for folks who are just dependent on the local affiliates, CBS has the two big AFC games in the afternoon. The Chargers-Bengals game at 1 o'clock, 4:25 will get that Steelers-Ravens game, and then, of course, the night game will be on. So you get the six AFC teams that are playing one another all, you know, you don't have to go out somewhere if you don't want to. You can get them in your house if you get the local affiliates.
Good. And there'll be a Fox game. That might be Giants-Miami.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yes, okay. Thank you. Yep. I just checked on my Fubo schedule.
Miami is above Pittsburgh on our rankings, by the way. So
deservedly so.
They're getting Mike Glennon this week.
Mike Glennon. No, maybe not.
All right. Jones was limited.
How about
today?
That organization? Oh, he's got a neck injury week to week. No, he's playing. Just get your story straight, Giants.
Yeah, they're all getting fired anyway.
Yeah, maybe. 803-0550 for your calls next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, John Clayton, and Sabres hockey ahead tonight on WGR. This was Joe's Spotify Song of the Year last year.
I like this jam. This what is this? I don't recognize
this.
Heart.
I like
it.
This is the Strokes.
Early Heart.
Oh. Okay.
Anna Nancy.
Or it's Beethoven.
Early Anna Nancy. Have you been on Heart through your life?
Just okay.
Just okay?
Yeah. Yeah, fine. I mean, I respect the hell out of them for you know, being women fronting a rock band, in the 70s, which I don't think is any easier today, but must have been ridiculous in the 70s. Hat tip right there for that. There's a couple of really, really great riffs there.
Yeah, I mean, Barracuda isn't great.
Barracuda, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. These Dreams, you don't really need it, but...
No, right, yeah, Barracuda. I don't need the ballad. I'm not a ballad, I'm not really a ballad dude at all.
Oh, I am.
I hardly like any ballads, even by people I really admire.
Wow.
It's work for me to like ballads. I want to rock.
Yeah, I love all that stuff.
Like, for me, I never liked the slow stuff when I was a kid at all. By anyone. And it always has impressed me that, like, you know, as I've gotten older, like Jason Isbell, for example, is one of my very favorite singers and songwriters and performers. And there's a lot of, like, you know, heartfelt, ballady stuff there. And it always kind of blows my mind when my kids like it. You know, when they were like really, you know, like 10, 12, 13 years old, they're digging that stuff. And it went over my head when I was a kid. I needed stuff that was up tempo, had more of a groove when I was a kid. But anyway, I do like some slower stuff now. I've evolved.
Really? That's the proper direction, you think, to go? Not from slow to fast, but from fast to slow as you get older. That's the proper course.
I mean, there's no rules, but for me, that's just how it's gone. Like I appreciate the nuance and the artistry behind that stuff more now than I did when I was younger. When I was younger, I needed Keith Richards playing some chords. That was it. Just give me that groove.
Yeah. All right. John Clayton still to come. Sabres hockey tonight. We've got a source saying that the Sabres do expect Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to make it to Florida. They're scrambling today, huh? With a trade and then a COVID situation with Tokarski. Anderson is with them, but I'm not sure he's believed to be healthy yet. And then you have Dell. And I don't know what the point of guessing is really, but if I'm here, so maybe Dell plays. Because it's asking a lot of Luukkonen to travel there just right now and go in.
It is, but I don't know. I would do it. I just like the idea of the frenzied. You don't have time to be nervous about playing another NHL game. You just gotta get there and get in there. I'm not saying that means like that's the best reason to do it, but it appeals to me. I like the idea of not being able to sit there and think about it for too long. Just go react, go play. So I don't know if they'll do that or not. I'm also, you know, not super high on watching Aaron Dell play. So this game would get a lot more interesting to me if Luukkonen were playing. Of course, if he's not mentally prepared to do it because he's rushing to Florida, that could turn into be something that is quite regrettable. But I'd rather watch Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen play. So I am motivated by my own entertainment as well as what I think would be maybe cool to see happen.
It's good enough for me this year. Saturday is kind of wide open suddenly. Anderson, like, this is a two-game road trip. So for him to go, maybe that tells you he could play Saturday or he's just there because, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to be cute or anything. Like, you know, maybe he's just with the team, right? I don't want to – you tell me whether you want to necessarily read into that for his status. Seems like some amount – some modicum of progress. Then you have Dell with them. You don't have Tokarski now. You could have – Malcolm Subban, and you probably will have Luukkonen. Like, that's just sort of wide open. This thing exploded today.
Right.
Possibilities.
I would expect one of Subban or Luukkonen to play Saturday.
Yeah, okay, sure. Myself, not Anderson.
Not Anderson. I just don't know why, you know, I think you're right to assert that he's there. That's progress. He's there, you know, even if he's skating on his own. That they must think he, I don't know, does that mean they think he has a chance to play on Saturday? Maybe they just wanted him around. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to go on the trip.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm unsure, but.
Yeah, but I would right now bet pretty heavily on one of Subban or Luukkonen playing on Saturday in Carolina.
All right.
And like I said, I do like it. It might sound like I'm being kind of flippant about it, but I really like the idea of Luukkonen getting there at 5:30 and like getting off a plane, going to the rink, and putting his gear on.
Go play.
Let's go play. Yeah.
Can this team be good next year?
Probably not. Probably not.
A goalie can sort of cheat the game if Luukkonen or whoever, it doesn't have to be him, but if you have a goalie who can cheat the game and steal you even a season, that's just part of the story with the Sabres is that has not happened in all these years, and it could have. It could have made one of the Jack Eichel years really interesting, but Leonard was in and out, and then Hutton didn't work out at all. Ullmark was okay, but they were pretty far gone. You know, especially by last year, even the year before. And then coaching, right? So you just never got there. But so, you know, a goalie can always distort that. And you have a bad roster, if you will, but an average season-ish. Probably not a great season. So there's always that possibility.
Yeah. Otherwise, depends on what sort of progress to me. I'm going to need probably two or three impacts that are not here right now. And that's from the group that includes Krebs and Quinn and maybe Paterka in Rochester, Owen Power coming from Michigan. Like, to me, there's no question he's on this team next year. Maybe Matthias Samuelsson is someone who steps in next year. And if a couple or three of those, not that I get limited to that, I just don't want to be greedy and expect that they're going to get like five first-year guys that are like, wow, look what we found, an NHL team. That just doesn't seem realistic. But if they were going to get the goalie thing that you're describing and two or three of that group that I just mentioned by name sort of break through and can play, you know, top-line minutes like they're projected to eventually do, then maybe they could be a surprise team next year. Maybe. But I think that's, I mean, that's tough. I think it's asking a lot that those guys are going to be that impactful. I think those guys could make the team, but are they going to be ready to bite off a role, you know, playing 18 minutes a night in a top six role? I don't know. Like, all those guys at once, just that seems tough for me to foresee happening.
Joe?
It's hard for me to see them getting good next year because of the goaltending. Like, I think they're probably going to go young, whether that's Lukanen or it's Levi coming up right away from college, the way he's played and doing it. They could go out and get, like, a Braden Holtby type, like a guy who's just kind of hanging around, not really a starter in the league, and he could have a career year. But just them kind of organically going from what they are this year to being, like, a legitimately good team next year, that's seems hard for me to believe. Mm-hmm. Like, they could be an 80 to 90 point team, and, like, maybe you want to qualify that as good, but
it's not bad.
It's not bad, right? Like, that's I would want to think they can be not bad, but I might not want to take the jump to good.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's important to have some handle on that when you think about anything they're doing now. Because if it's right to think that you are unlikely to be like a playoff team, a legit good team next year, then that would have a lot to say about what these moves are now. That's which players, that's which roles, that's how much money, that's what who you have might mean to other guys you do see evolving and being important to you for years to come, just whether that's line combinations or minutes or whatever it is. So I feel like that's where they should be at. It's where we all are on this, and so that's why I think Subban is a passable idea, because you want to be better, but you don't want to be really going after anybody right now. Like, you're not interested in trading a good draft pick for a goalie. What's the point? And you get to that point next year, unless you're saying, Joe, by your take, that lock that down now. But I don't know. Like, that could just
lock
get
what
get
down?
Gross.
Like, that they'll do that?
The goalie.
A goalie. Yeah, goalie. Yeah.
Like, to do that now, to try to make some sort of move. Wow. To get the goalie you want to have be your playoff, your next playoff goalie. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, well, you could make that argument. I don't think I would.
I'd expect that their plan right now might involve all enough of the pieces that I've already been mentioned by name here earlier in this segment, sort of being ready to be impactful, maybe a year after next, and that it lines up for Lukanen or maybe even eventually Portillo to sort of answer that question for you without having to spend an asset on a goalie. I don't know if – see, I think, you know, you're coming at this from, I think, the right place. Like, do you think you'll be good next year? Do you need to do something about goaltending if you think you're going to be good? And I don't know that I would want to do something significant, which is why I kind of like the Subban thing, because if it works, maybe you can keep him on the cheap until Lukanen is to be trusted or until Portillo turns pro. I mean, I don't know what they envision for Portillo. I mean, he is a stud right now for Michigan. He's playing every game for one of the best teams in the nation. And, you know, that could lead to him really wanting to, or the Sabres wanting him to turn pro. He also could just go back to Michigan for another year at least. And, you know, maybe at some point they could start to get nervous about that because of his draft year and the 4 years and Cal Peterson and, you know, the drill, right? But I don't know that it would be smart for them asset management-wise to burn something significant on getting a goalie.
Right.
See, I don't see them burning something on a goalie or, like, an asset, like, to trade for one. But when I think about, like, who's in net for this team next season, it's not going to be Craig Anderson. I can't believe it's going to be Dustin Tokarski. It's certainly not going to be Aaron Dell.
Maybe will be Lukanen.
It'll be Lukanen, and it'll be somebody else.
Somebody.
And maybe right. Subban. That's why I think it is intriguing to play him now. He could earn that. But if he can't do it, and given his career totals and numbers, I might want to guess that it's more likely he won't earn that job. Then you just go sign the fifth best free agent goaltender in a 1 year deal. You go sign Vitek Vanacek. You go sign Thomas Greiss. Like, you just fill it in for a year with something that's more reputable than what you did this year.
That is not that hard.
No, it's not that hard. No. Right. That's why I think that's really probably not the most likely outcome.
Yeah. And so you're going to see what Luukkonen is. You're going to see that through.
I think so.
If you're well into next year and you're nowhere, maybe you bail, because that happens. Like, it's not mm-hmm. – he's no given or anything, as I see it. Like, he's interesting. Right. But you're going to give him a shot at it. Mm-hmm. And, doing this other thing as a compliment to it is fine and maybe even easy for next season. So, all right. And then, he'll play 50 games, 55 games, and you see what you've got.
Yeah, you take that for a spin and see if it's something you can move forward with. If not, after next year, assuming Portillo doesn't turn pro, maybe you convince him to turn pro after the 22-23 season, and he's in Rochester or here. I mean, I don't know if he'd come right from college to here. I mean, he could. It happens. And that's the next guy in line. So, again, none of this is proven – right, no one here is like a can't miss. So, whether or not you want to do something more than that by a year or two from now, I think we'll be talking about it pretty frequently, because the rest of the roster, by at least if not next year, like I'm saying that's a I'd say it's a long shot that they're fully formed enough to be a contending team by the season after that. If Luukkonen isn't working next year, the season after that, you might want to do something, because Portillo might not be ready to slide in, and the team might be dying for an upgrade there. So if Luukkonen misses, then they might have to do something that we'll be debating the merits of, like 5 years in free agency or something, because yep. The team looks ready to go, and we don't have a goalie that is credibly ready to stand in there and be a number one on a contending team, or on a playoff contending team at least.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. John Clayton coming up. Sabres pregame at 6 here on WGR. Week 13 starts tonight. The Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest is free and available to you. Text the word PICKS to 20357 to play. Pick the winner of each week's games, beginning with tonight's Dallas-New Orleans game. It's free, no point spreads or lineups to do, and there's $1,000 up for grabs each week. See you there, the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. This is not a fantasy contest. I am getting I'm getting some start-sit questions. Really, Joe is it's Joe's brand. But I'm happy to take the occasional one. Guy wants to know about Tony Pollard tonight. Man, Dallas is tough. Even Gallup. Like, Elliott, Lamb is the one guy, not Prescott, but like Lamb is the one guy that I think is like rock solid, but he's also coming off a concussion. So, I mean, Dallas could be just about anything tonight, I think. 26 is the implied total. I mean, it's a good team, and everybody's going to be active, I think. And they've got Smith the tackle back, too. Like, it's the first game this year where everybody's out there. But there's, like, a question about each guy. I don't know. It's tough. I like getting points. I like getting information on Thursday night. If all else is equal, I like to play the guy on Thursday night. Because then I have, I have a team in the high stakes with Brady and Prescott. And I still don't know what I'm going to do. But I like the idea of playing Prescott, because, like, what if Brady's on the COVID list tomorrow? Then where am I? And I had a coin flip, and I had Dak Prescott on the bench,
Yep. I like having a Thursday, guys. I don't have any options this week. Funny, last Thursday, of course, was Thanksgiving, and there were three games. So six teams worth of players. I had no players
right. Playing
on Thursday last week. And, here we only got the one game, but I have no Cowboys and no Saints the old Tunsil's gas mask. So I'm waiting for the weekend.
It's two of the same teams, right? So you still don't have.
Of course. Yeah. What is there a latest on Kyler Murray?
He's in. Hopkins is in, too.
Okay.
They both, social media, and then there was a team report today where they're expecting him to play. Arizona at Chicago. Yeah.
Go get him, Kyler.
Let's roll with Kyler Murray, right? We're all going to do
that. They did a great job to stay atop the NFC without him.
Yes.
Was it?
Three games.
Three games, right?
They won at San Francisco and at Seattle in there.
Yeah.
They lost at home to Carolina in the middle. Kind of weird. John Clayton coming up. Speaking of the Seahawks, I mean, he's kind of like, I don't know, like we've asked John about the Seahawks a couple times, and I don't know. He hasn't exactly represented time to blow it up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But 3-8. They're signing Adrian Peterson, and they're 3-8. John Clayton on Bills, Patriots, and more all around the NFL next. Again, Tokarski for the Sabres on the COVID list. Tokarski on the COVID list. They traded for Malcolm Subban. Lukanen called up. I'm told the Sabres expect Lukanen to make it for this game. Whether he starts or not, I don't know. But I think they expect him to make it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with John Clayton next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.